Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, today is the first day of Lent, a season that has been observed different ways in different parts of the world throughout time. Early in its days, though, the Christian church started remembering the events of the Passion, and a pattern grew up. Every Friday commemorated Good Friday, and every Sunday commemorated Easter and the Lord's resurrection. The custom of the church fasting on Friday grew out of that. The only problem was that somebody once finally said, you have to do that. And that was wrong, because fasting is one of the ways in which we worship the Lord on a more personal level. The same also with almsgiving. The same also with our lives of prayer. Truly, the Lord says, pray without ceasing. Yet, the entire life of prayer could always be enhanced. We could always set one thing aside to make a little bit more time for a few more words, intentional words with God. We can give the first fruits to our brothers and sisters in need, just as we prayed, just as the scriptures have indicated to us. Today, we heard again, for the umpteenth time, the traditional assigned gospel for Ash Wednesday, where Jesus spoke on these three topics, alms and fasting and prayer. Makes a nice rhythm that way, doesn't it? Because I grew up watching it and waiting for it each year. As soon as I put those words together in that order, I started thinking about the Wizard of Oz. Alms and fasting and prayer, oh my. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. Why didn't they want to venture into that forest? What was in there that was preventing them from continuing down the yellow brick road? Now, the Wizard of Oz is more of a social commentary than it is religious, but we can take certain lessons from it still. Fear. Either not wanting what they knew was there, or fearing what they thought might be there was holding them back. They finally banded together and headed on, but still with great fear. So it is with Christians as we approach Lent. The Lutheran Church sometimes overly boldly waves in the face of the Catholic Church as it says, goodbye to the rules and regulations that were laid upon man after the Bible was completed. But the Bible never said stop fasting. The Bible never said stop giving alms. The Bible never said stop praying. And Lent, this preparation for the great celebration of our Lord's resurrection, is a wonderful time to get ourselves back under control. Because in our outward world, there are lions and tigers and bears all over the place. And one of the big bears is a bearish market on Wall Street. Things are down. Investments are tanking. People who are heavily vested in the market are wondering, am I going to be able to retire? Am I going to be able to sustain myself in retirement? Am I going to be able to send my children to college? And on it goes. There are all manner of things in this life that divert us from our course of action. Things that we fear, things with which we're uncomfortable. Because we are undisciplined in our behavior. And God doesn't want to beat discipline in us, but rather he wants to encourage us. As he has saved us from our sins, so also the one who saved us lays out a way in which we may take a bit of control under the guidance of his word and under the blessing of his Holy Spirit. We give up and we go on in order to better be prepared for the days ahead, for the celebration of the resurrection ahead, and for our own resurrection on the last day. Alms and fasting and prayer. Oh my! It is a little scary to give a little bit more. But like the poor woman who gave her 2 cents and walked away from the temple. Recognizing that there were others who were in either greater distress than she, so we also can honestly say, I have been blessed in so many ways, and there are so many things that I can still do to bless others. And fasting? Perhaps that's the one that is always most controversial, because, as I said, the Catholic Church demanded fasting for so many years. And when the Lutherans broke off, a lot of them said, we don't have to do that anymore. And we say, you're right, but we can. And if we read Jesus carefully, we should. But we shouldn't do it, as he said, putting on a show for others. We don't leave the ashes on our foreheads for all of Lent. We will quickly wash them off and wipe them away and go on our merry way. We'll take a bath, shampoo, whatever it is. Clean ourselves up and go on our way. Jesus spoke of anointing yourself, pouring oil over yourself. Well, we don't do that anymore, but we can put on our makeup, we can shave, we can do those things to clean up and spiff up. And we can still give up certain foods, certain pleasures for the mouth, whether meat, red meat, certain sweets and delights that we like. The choice is up to us. But the discipline involved in saying no for 40 days, that builds strength. That builds character. That tells what Paul calls the God of the world, their belly. No, there is another God who is in charge. You don't get to rule me because I am ruled by Christ in his love. And a fast in that spirit then also spills out to the other two disciplines. In almsgiving, what am I going to do with this extra food? Am I going to save it and make a pig out of myself on Easter Sunday? Am I going to have a big party and call all my friends in and we'll celebrate and stuff ourselves? Or am I going to give up this food permanently and give it to someone who is in need? Our fasting can lead into our almsgiving. And our fasting will certainly need our prayers. When we wrestle with temptation, when we decide to do without something for the sake of discipline and worship, we need to stay in constant contact with our Father who sent his Son and who sends his Holy Spirit. Just as Jesus wrestled with Satan in the wilderness, so he also continually talked with his Father. Even as he was waiting for the arrest that was impending, he was talking with his Father. And even on the cross, he talked with his Father. He gave up. He fasted. Next Sunday's gospel speaks of the 40 days in the wilderness. He prayed constantly, as we've already mentioned. And he gave alms. Even if he had no money in his purse, he was still giving. He was giving of himself. Every time he healed, every time he forgave, he made enemies. He was buying his own suffering and death by giving life and light to others. He was providing to the poor, the downtrodden, the broken, and the brokenhearted on this earth the wealth of heaven. And now he invites us to do the same. To break and humble ourselves so that he does not on the last day break us and humble us and cast us away. To be reminded by more prayer, by more giving, and by more giving up, that we are dependent on him for everything. And that the selfishness that demands that we hold on to our money, that we hold on to our food, that our time is so valuable that we can't talk with God, oh my! That is wrong. That is the heart of our sins. That is what exactly Jesus came to forgive. The oh my sort of is missing the word, isn't it? Oh my God. And we can say, oh my God, do you really mean that I'm supposed to give some things up? That I'm supposed to fold my hands, bow my head, maybe get down on my knees and talk to you more than I already do? And he goes, yes, that's what I mean. Oh my God, do you mean that the poor people who are out there really need more than just their government check in order to help them? Am I supposed to be spending a bit of myself to help them also? He says, you know that you are. Lord, do I make a mockery of the gifts that you give me? Do I make a pig out of myself? Perhaps never becoming a glutton, but never fully appreciating what he lays in front of me. Jesus talked about the word being pearls that you do not cast before swine. But think of the pearls of food that he casts before us, and we swinishly devour them. We may say a quick, come Lord Jesus, and I'll give thanks to the Lord for he is good, but do we say it only with our mouths? Or with our mouths and our minds? Or with our mouths and our minds and our hearts and our spirits? The intentional prayer of Lent, with the intentional restraint of eating in Lent, with the intentional giving to those in need in Lent, are ways that God reminds us of the things he sent Jesus to bring us to forgiveness and new life. And they are ways that God uses us who are forgiven to forward his word into this world. As I said, the things that we give up are the things that we can also give away. As we celebrate God's blessings by holding back on a few of them, we can also show others what it's like to have a God who blesses them. We can shower the poor with food and with money. We can take care of the homeless, the sick, and the distressed in our area. We can open our blind eyes and look around us and quickly find people who are in need. And we can answer their need not because we have to in order to attain heaven, but because we may do it because we have already received heaven as Christ's free gift to us. Alms and fasting and prayer, oh my. The first few steps you take on that trail, you will probably wonder if you can make it through to the other side. And there's hardly a fast goes by that most people don't break it at one time or another. But rather than giving up, the Lord encourages us to go on. If we do not swear an oath to absolutely keep the fast, then we just count it as a little hiccup and say, Lord, help me to keep it going. We may not be able right now to open up our wallets, to dump everything out, to sort out all the good money and to give it away, but maybe he can encourage us to add a little bit more for the work of his church and outside of his church for the blessing of those in need. And maybe, possibly, probably, he won't get hours of unending prayer from us, but maybe he'll get a few more minutes. And when we give him those few more minutes, we find that he is actually giving us something. Because as we pay more attention to him, we find that the things that are scaring us really aren't that important, really aren't that intimidating. There is nothing worse than looking forward and knowing that you're going to die of painful suffering and death, except looking forward and thinking that you're going to have to suffer that death forever. Because Jesus fixed his eyes on the cross and dedicated himself to saving us by that horrible crucifixion, we can look at our death as the end of this yellow brick road, not as a terror, but rather as the gate to heaven. No Emerald City where the horses change color and the bands parade by, but rather the place where all of the saints are gathered to be in God's presence forevermore. A place where there is no longer any need to discipline ourselves because we will never be undisciplined. A place where it will be impossible for us to give up because everything is given to us in such abundance that we can never consume or use it. A place where heartfelt, knee-bent prayer to a God who we do not see will be unnecessary because we will see him and be in his presence forever and ever. These things will not get you there, but they are ways of keeping you focused as you go down the trail. Alms and fasting and prayer are like the needle on the compass that's pulling you around to point due at that cross. They're ways of getting in touch with what Jesus said about not departing from the trail either to the right or to the left. The way is straight, is narrow, he tells us. And we narrow down ourselves as we pare away the greed, the hypocrisy, the me-first attitude. We don't become a lean, mean fighting machine, but rather a lean, caring, and concerned Christian, dedicated even more to others rather than ourselves, pondering ever more deeply the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf. God grant that however we observe Lent, whatever our alms or fasting or our prayers might be, we'll be blessed by God, not only to benefit us, but also to benefit those around us. And God grant that He keep us faithful, that we celebrate the good times, and that we give Him the bad times in the same spirit, because we know that finally He works even the worst evil against us into our good for our everlasting life. Alms, and fasting, and prayer. So what? It's what Jesus did for us. And it's what we can do for Him, for ourselves, and for those around us. And thanksgiving for Him who gave them all to us. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, amen. The peace that surpasses understanding keep you steadfast in this same Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.